Hi, I'm Frank, and I'm the pastor of Real Life Church in beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. My life wasn't always like this. Years ago, I was a hard-living, unsaved young archaeologist living in Jerusalem, Israel. Everything was going well for me, and I was very successful, but unhappy and unfulfilled on the inside. Here I was, excavating the Bible, specifically palaces and fortresses of King Herod the Great. I was walking in the footsteps of Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. However, everything changed the day I asked the Lord into my life. And now, I invite you to go on the journey with me as we study the Word of God with insight and revelation drawn from the years that I spent as an archaeologist in Israel. Welcome to Real Life Radio, where we apply God's Word to our real lives.
And what I want to talk about these next three services is the Christian, the power of God, and the power of darkness. Now look at what this says in 1 John chapter 5. We're going to look at one verse, 1 John 5, verse 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. Now what that literally reads is the whole world is under the power of the devil. If you look at that in the Greek, the whole world is under the power of the devil. You were under the power of the devil. I was under the power of the devil. We were unaware of it. We weren't aware of it. Let me draw a parallel. When Israel was in captivity in Egypt, when Israel, there were slaves in Egypt, children that were born into that knew nothing other than that. It is difficult to be conscious of your captivity if you've never known freedom. Now, yes, I'm sure they were told, it was explained to them. They did not like the work. They did not like the bondage. They did not like the slave drivers. But it was a little bit of a different kind of slavery than what we always imagine or picture, because they had homes, they had food, they had plenty to eat. They pined away for that when they were in the wilderness, if you remember. But if you're born into that, if that's your way of life, you're really not aware of what it is to be free or what it's like to be free. We are all born into sin. We are all born into the power of the devil. The whole world is under the power of the devil. And it was when we got born again that we got out of that. Now, we would have no power against the devil unless we were out of that system. While we were in that system, we had no power over the devil or against the devil. Now, you might say, Pastor Frank, I don't believe there's a devil. Well, good for you. He's got you convinced. That's wonderful. That's his best trick going, is to convince people there's no such thing as the devil. But all you have to do is look around. As a matter of fact, I remember I've told this before. I heard years ago, I heard about some guy who was really satanic, satanically motivated. He was a real, real terrible person. And he owned this large property and with a beautiful house on it. And in his will, when he passed away, he had no family. In his will, he left the property to the devil. So this is a true story. And the probate judge looked at this and looked at this. How does he fulfill the probate? How does he follow through leaving this to the devil? And then he had the idea. And what he did was he took and had a wall erected around the property with no entrances, no doors, no way to get into the property. And he said, when he did the will, probated the will, I don't know if that's a verb, he said that anything that is left to itself will go to the devil. And surely it begins to get overgrown. The vines and the trees begin to put root into the house and destroy the house. And after 10 years or so, 15 years, the house was gone. It was in ruins. And the whole property was just totally overgrown. You would never know that the guy's house was there, never know anybody lived there. Things of the world left to themselves, people of the world left to themselves, go to the devil. That's why we work at who we are. We don't just exist as Christians. We are to walk the walk, talk the talk, and we are to keep our bodies under, lest we slip away. So the Word of God says right there in verse 19, the whole world is under the power of the devil. Now, I'm going to look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, if you're taking notes, you can go to Ephesians 2 with me. Goes along with that we just read. Ephesians 2, and I'm going to look at verse 2. Ephesians 2, verse 1 and 2. And you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Okay, here, the Spirit of God, through the Apostle Paul, is calling Satan the prince of the power of the air. The prince of the power of the air. Now, just think of media today. Whether it's social media, no matter what kind of media, how does it get from one place to another? Through the air. It's all wireless. It's all through the air. He's the prince of the power of the air. So anytime we have a Christian radio station with a positive Christian message, positive Christian music, it is invading the prince of the power of the air. But the prince of the power of the air can't stop it because God's power is greater. So here, the word says that all the people who are not saved are the children of disobedience. Again, confirming under the power of the devil. Now, if you turn to Colossians chapter 1, that is our text for tonight. This is where we begin to work out the message delivered. Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians 1, I'll begin reading in verse 11. Verse 11, Colossians 1, verse 11. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. I'm going to come back to that verse in a moment. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. All right, let's go back to verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, who has made us meet to be partakers. Let's look at that first of all. That word meet means qualified. God has qualified us to partake of his blessing. God has qualified us. Also, it's used elsewhere and translated made able. He's made us able to be a part of the kingdom of God. He has made us able to receive the blessings of God. He has made us able to walk in the miracles of God. And he has made us able to overcome the power of the devil. He has equipped us, he has empowered us, and he's authorized us to use his name, to use his weapons, and to walk by his spirit to set captives free and to destroy the works of darkness. Not enjoy the works of darkness, but destroy the works of darkness. The enemy is well aware of that. So the enemy, above all things, wants us to not know our commission. He doesn't want us to know what we are commissioned to do. He tries to keep it from us or keep us so preoccupied with things. What kind of things? Things like discouragement. Discouragement is not from God. Discouragement is not from God. Stress is not from God. Depression is not from God. Fear is not from God. The enemy tries to keep us so preoccupied. We get discouraged because our prayer wasn't answered yet. We get discouraged because things didn't happen, because the miracle didn't happen, because somebody let us down, because the job's letting us down. We get so discouraged because no matter how hard we try, we can't get ahead, we can't get forward. Do not allow discouragement into your heart. Hold fast the confession of your faith. He's faithful. He is faithful. Don't be depressed. I've known people who were so depressed that their idea of a good day was to get up in the morning, pop some pills, drink some wine, and sleep through the day. That's depressing, just thinking about it. No, depression's not from the devil. Do not allow depression to come in. Many times depression comes in a very sneaky way. I mean, it's not from the Lord. Yeah, it's from the devil, sorry. Depression comes in a very sneaky way through grief. Someone's grieving over a loss. It could be a loss of a relationship, a loss as someone goes to be with the Lord. Any kind of a loss, any kind of a breakdown, we can grieve. And grief can open the door for depression. Grieving is natural and normal, and it's okay. But we must protect ourselves. And while in that state of grief, we don't allow depression to come in. Fear and stress, we've talked about that many, many times. So the Word of God says, We give thanks to God. Are you giving thanks to God for what he's done? I'm not just talking about that you're saved. Giving thanks to God that he's made us able. That he's made us able. He's made us qualified. Have you ever applied for a job and you didn't get it because you weren't qualified? Have you ever not applied for a job because you weren't qualified? Are there things you'd like to do but you're not qualified? You know, and it can be depressing. Because someone might say, well, man, I don't have the time or the money to go back to college and get a degree in that. But now there are many different ways to do it. You can get a certificate. And you can get certified. You can even get state certification through certificate programs and for a fraction of the cost. And you can get certified online or certified in person. There's so many different ways that you can get qualified today. So it's time to get qualified in the Lord. He's qualified us. So we can thank God that we are whatever he, that's what he's saying. Whatever job he called, I'm not talking about your job where you go each day. I'm talking about kingdom jobs. Whatever he's called us to do, guess what? We're qualified. He's called us to be soul winners, but I don't know it. You're qualified. But I'm ashamed. You're qualified. I'm not bold. You're qualified. I can't. You're qualified. In my name, you shall lay hands on the sick. I can't do that. You're qualified. You can set the captives free. You're qualified. I don't have that power. You're qualified. We are qualified for everything he wants us to do. All right, let's keep going here. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, the enemy dwells in darkness. We dwell in light. When there's light, things are not hidden. When there's darkness, things are hidden. When there's light, things are clear. You're illuminated. You know. You can see the way. When it's dark, you may not know the way. You may not be able to see the way. When you go into a dark room and you turn on the light drives out the darkness. Darkness cannot exist where there's light. The reverse is not true. You cannot go into a light room and turn on darkness. You cannot turn on darkness. Darkness is already there. Darkness is already in the world. What we do is drive it out with the light. We are the children of light. We have light. The light of life. The light of truth. The light of hope. The light of Christ. Whenever anyone has seen the Lord, there's always light. Sometimes described as a rainbow. Sometimes, and I'm not talking about the rainbow of the world, okay? I'm talking about the rainbow of God. Besides, the rainbow belongs to God. It doesn't belong to people, no matter what their sexual persuasion. The rainbow belongs to God. It's his promise. And this, and he's seen as a rainbow of light. Why is that? Simply because a rainbow is just a prism. It's just a prism which separates all the various rays of light. So, the Word of God says that we are saints in light. You realize the people around you are saints. If we're saints, we should start acting like saints, right? We need to act like we're saints because we're saints. Saints are not, now I was raised with saints. I mean, not my family. They weren't saints. I was raised with saints, you know, because it was St. Anthony's Day or St. Joseph's Day. I went to St. Joseph's High School or St. Joseph's Grammar School. I went to St. Joseph's Church. Sometimes I would cheat and I would go to St. Martin's Church. I don't know who he was. St. Martin de Porres. I don't have any idea who he was. You never know who these people were. This is a church named St. Martin. Anyway, there's a saint for every day of the week, by the way. Every single day there's a saint day, a feast day. But I find it very interesting because we poo-poo that. You know, about saints and all that, because the Word of God says we're the saints. But if you really analyze this is my theory. This is not Bible now, okay? This is my theory. People who became saints had to go through a canonization process. They investigated their lives. They had witnesses come forward. They spoke to people that knew that person. And what they had to do was, number one, be a good person. Number two, not be apostate, serving God, that everybody knew they were serving God. And number three, they had to have proven miracles in their life. Did you realize that? To be a saint in the Catholic Church, you had to have a proven miracle. Well, here's the deal. I believe that these people were good people who were born again. Now, again, that's me. I believe they knew God. Not everybody was born again. They weren't teaching that. But I believe that there are certain people that were born again throughout history. I don't think that in the early church, everybody was born again, and then we forgot about it for 2,000 years until now we're all born again. I believe there are people born again in every century. I believe people saw it in the Word of God. They acted upon it. They heard it by the Spirit of God, and they gave their lives to the Lord. And, of course, there'd be miracles in their lives because they had the power of God in them. And the church, because the bishops and the priests weren't having those miracles, they had to make a difference. Well, these people are saints. Let's put them on altars because they have miracles. Anyway, that's my theory. Take it or leave it. You don't have to believe it if you don't want. Anyway, I don't even know how we got there. Other than saints in light. Oh, we're the saints in light. That's how. We're the saints in light. So you and I are saints, which means you and I should have what? Miracles. Miracles. I'm going to make a statement. Miracle, I can't say miracles is. Miracles are the fruit of sainthood. Miracles are the fruit of sainthood, and you and I are saints, according to God's word. All right, let's go on to verse 13. Who has delivered us? And that's the message tonight. Delivered. You've been delivered. You have been delivered. I have been delivered. We are no longer under the bondage of sin. No, you don't have to do that sin. No, you don't have to fall. No, you don't have to think about that. You've been delivered. You've been delivered from the power of darkness. Again, it's darkness. Darkness. Now, the word delivered is an interesting word. It means rescued. Rescued. But it also means to draw to oneself. In other words, Jesus drew us to himself out of the bondage, out of the slavery, out of the kingdom of darkness. He actually pulled us out of the kingdom of darkness, drawing us to himself. That is a beautiful word in the Greek, drawing us to himself. Let me look at that. I'm going to give you a companion scripture out of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. If you're taking notes, 2 Peter chapter 2. And I'm going to look at verses 6 and 7. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. And delivered Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. How did the angels deliver him? They grabbed him and pulled him. They pulled him to themselves. That word delivered is the same word delivered here. It's not used in a lot of places. It's used there. Same word. To rescue or draw to oneself. So what God is saying is like Lot was dwelling in wickedness, we were dwelling in a world of wickedness, which is getting worse, not getting better. But the Spirit of God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, grabbed hold of us and pulled us out and drew us to himself. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now that's a little hard word, translated. 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 Because you know, when I hear translated, I think of language. From one language to another. What's the translation of that? So, translated. The word translated in the Greek means conveyed. To convey from one place to another. But it's even a better word. Better meaning, because this word meaning convey in Greek is used in a specific way. In the ancient world, what would happen when a conquering nation conquered another nation? What would they do with a conquered population? They would convey them somewhere else. A transfer of a conquered population. That's this word. When a conquered population is transferred to another location to live. Israel was transferred to Babylon. Judah transferred to Babylon. Israel was transferred, the northern kingdom of Israel transferred all over the place and lost track of them. But Judah was transferred to the same place and stayed intact. But they were a conquered people and they were transferred. And this is what in the ancient world they would do. That there would not be rebellions. That there would not be a core of people to rise up. They would transfer them to another place. Interestingly, That was the way it was done up until Alexander the Great. He was an amazing person, not just because at 33 or 30, he conquered the known world at the time, but he had a different way of thinking about everything. And he never did that with populations. And in fact, what he did was he left the Persian governors that had already been in place, if they would take an oath to him, he left them as governor. He did not, and in fact, the royal family, in one of the battles, the man who was fighting against him, King Darius, Alexander captured his wife, his mother, and his children. Now, in ancient combat, you would either hold them hostage or you would kill them. Alexander sent word to Darius that he had his family and he would treat them royally. And he gave command to all of his officers to treat them like kings and queens. So much so that, this is true, Darius' mother had the opportunity to leave and go join Darius and refused. She'd rather stay with Alexander. She stayed with Alexander because she was treated so well. Anyway, has nothing to do with what we're talking about tonight. That's just your little history lesson for the night. I've got to give you that little kernel of history so that you know that you got an archaeologist as a pastor. All right. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us. So translated, it's that transfer of a conquered population. Now look at this. I'm going to read this out of, where is it? It's going to be Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, confirming this. This will put this verse really into perspective for you. Wherefore, he says, when he ascended up on high, talking about Jesus, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. This is what we're talking about. We were captive. Jesus conquered the powers of darkness when he rose from the dead, when he paid the price, when he shed his blood, when he broke free of hell, rose from the dead, and he took us with him. He took a conquered captive people and he conveyed us to another place. But the place he conveyed us was not in captivity. Here is an example of what I want you to see. Moses, a foreshadowing, a type of Christ, what did he do? He delivered the captive people out of Egypt. Jesus delivered the captive people out of the power of darkness. How? How did Moses do it? Through miracles, signs, and wonders. How did Jesus do it? Through miracles, signs, and wonders. And the culminating miracle, the death of the firstborn. Jesus being firstborn, only begotten Son of God. Use that to set us free. Why? Why was Moses sent to set the people free? Were they good? No. Were they better than others? No. Did they deserve it? No. God wanted a people to serve him. We have been set free for the sole purpose of serving God. Not serving ourselves, serving God. That's why we're not called to be self-serving. And how do we do that? How did Israel serve God? By possessing the land of promise. Moses led them out to lead them in. Jesus took us out to take us in to a place of promise, a place of power, a place of signs, wonders, and miracles, a place of freedom, a place of healing. Look at the things that happened along the way. People being bitten by snakes and dying until the serpent was put on a pole and there's healing by faith. Faith brings healing. Look at the serpent, you'll be healed. Jesus himself said, even as the serpent was lifted in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What else did we see in the wilderness? We saw a place where God speaks to the people. A place of sacrifice. A place of the presence of God, the power of God, the glory of God. It was the ark. The ark of covenant, the ark of testimony. Jesus is our ark. Jesus is our supply. What was in the ark? In the ark was the pot of manna. Jesus is the bread of life that comes down from heaven. In the ark was the rod of Aaron that budded. Jesus is that leader, leadership. Jesus is our shepherd. What else was in the ark? The stones with the 10 commandments. Jesus is the Word made flesh. He is our ark. He is the presence of God. He is the glory of God. And He speaks to us. So that was in the wilderness. What else? The manna fell in the wilderness, of course. Quail fell in the wilderness. Water comes out of rock in the wilderness. There is direction and guidance in the wilderness. It's a place where no one should survive, but Israel thrived. They went into the wilderness slaves. They came out of the wilderness warriors. The generation of slaves passed away. We don't have to have that happen. We don't have to pass away. We can skip that and go right to the warrior stage. But we've got to see that we are equipped and empowered with the armor of light, not of the darkness, not fleshly, not weak. It's powerful to pull down strongholds and set captives free. Why? Because once they got into the land, they were to populate the land, possess the land, raise up a temple unto the Lord, raise a people up to God where sacrifice and prayer would go. And they became a conquering nation. We are to be a conquering nation. We are not content to have everyone other than ourselves still under the power of darkness. Our commission is to set the captives free, to open the doors to those in prison, to release them, to open the eyes of the blind, blinded by the devil, to heal the brokenhearted, all those that are oppressed, depressed, grieving, for they don't even know what, under the weight of sin and guilt. We're to set them free with the joy of the Lord. This is why we've been brought out. Again, it says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Okay, it's also said the Son of his love. What that is the Son of agape or agape. The Son of that, it's a new kind of love. Before the New Testament, this word didn't exist. It's the love of God, where somebody lays their life down for others who don't deserve it. That's what soul winning is all about. That's what sharing our faith is all about. That's what loosing the captives is all about. In their present state, they don't deserve it. But we lay our lives down to bring them out anyway. And then what happens? They deserve it. They are made righteous through the Lord Jesus Christ. If we are going to destroy the works of darkness, we've got to take this seriously. The people that are coming to your door on Halloween, they don't take it seriously. They're just joking around. They're just putting on silly costumes. But there are those who know the power of darkness and take it very seriously. Well, we have a choice. We can be like the trick-or-treaters when it comes to church. And there are plenty of churches and church people like that. They don't take it seriously. Or we can take the commission of God seriously and know that there is a power of darkness and a power of light, a power of wrong and sin and a power of right and might. We have been blessed with a higher power. We've been blessed with a liberating power. We've been blessed with a healing power. We've been blessed with God's power.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to Real Life Radio today. If you grab a piece of paper and pencil, I want to give you some information. First of all, Real Life Radio is produced and brought to you compliments of Real Life Church. We're not asking for any contributions, but we are asking one favor. The next time you visit beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, we'd love for you to stop into one of our services. We have service every Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m., and every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Those are both in-person services located at 9644 North Kings Highway in Myrtle Beach, and that's on the corner of Lake Arrowhead Road. It's in a center called the Galleria. Now, both of these services are online as well as in-person, but we also have two other services totally online, Sunday evening at 7 p.m. and Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. All four online services are located at amiraclechurch.com. That's amiraclechurch.com. And even if you're not in Myrtle Beach, you can attend church with us. If you'd like more information, visit our church website, www.pastorfrank.com. That's pastorfrank.com. Real Life Radio is heard Monday through Friday at the same time on this same station, the Truth Network. God bless you and start living that real life right now.